history of Port Moody Museum, when did it begin? What was the sort of impetus behind setting it up?
Well, it's run by the Port Moody Heritage Society. They formed as the Port Moody Historical Society and got their charter in 69, but they evolved from the 1967 Centennial Committee. And then they were supposed to get a museum in the 67 Centennial Building, but the library took it all over and the museum didn't do much. And then they managed to get a museum set up in the display building for Glen Eyre, which is a development that was happening up on the hill. Mm. And that was in the early 70s. And then in 76, this building became available. It's the 1908 train station. We're a community museum, and Port Moody wouldn't be the way it is today if it wasn't for the coming and going of the CPR. So that's kind of a big focus for us, is the history of the CPR in the development of Western Canada.
What was the nature of the collections starting out for the Port Moody Museum?
The focus was just whatever represented the community, and people, even today, it's, you know, they're clearing out their parents' estate or something like that, and they don't want to throw the stuff away, and they bring it here. So that's, I guess, some of the important things, like we have the water and tax rolls and the police logs from 1913 to 74, and the city was throwing them away, basically, is what they were doing in 74. And the society picked them up then, and that actually is, as far as historical value goes, I guess that's our biggest thing. We have a lot, but the photographic collection, we have a fair number of photographs before 1920. It's sort of interesting, there's next to nothing between 20 and now. We've missed on a couple of things, like even the Richard Moody's photographs and postcards that the Royal BC Museum got. Mm. We would have liked to have got that ourselves, yeah. You know. Like,
what are some things that you feel are missing from the collection?
Anything that relates to Port Moody that is our basically our mandate. Mind you, we did quite a lot for the Great War, as we call it, the First World War. Mm-hmm. So we're still collecting things on that. And the trench display, it was supposed to be temporary, but it's going to be permanent until it falls down. We were one of the first museums in BC to get on a database. Mm. And that was because some of our members used to work for BCTEL, and somebody stole a copy of D-Base 3, and for a case of beer, we got a database put together. And then they got a grant to hire someone to put the information into the database. And they had to make a decision. They could either try to get a little bit of all of the artifacts in, or a lot of information on a few artifacts. They decided to do all the artifacts. And we've never really managed to go through everything again for a second pass to put more all the information that we had. There's a lot of things that we don't have a lot of information on. Mm-hmm. Like the one display that we're working on right now, we want to put the jail back up. Mm. And trying to figure out how old the jail is and where it was originally. There's not a lot of good documentation on that. Mm. Supposedly it came from the old train station. Mm. So, and I haven't found any documentation on that, but it sort of makes sense that the 1882 station was basically one of the first buildings built here as a public building type thing. Where would you put your jail? And then where the jail actually came from, or who made it, or it's, yeah, so there's not a lot of information on that.
What are some items from the collection or documents that excite you?
Well, we just got the 1953 IOCO voters list. Just got that a couple of weeks ago. The IOCO town site, it's just across the water here. It's the old Imperial Oil Refinery town site. Esso decided to get rid of the town site back in the 70s. Mm. They moved houses away, and as anybody left it, because the thing was that people could sort of give their houses to family type thing. Mm. If they wanted to sell it, Esso had the first right of refusal. And so Esso has basically got them all back, but two. There's still two privately owned houses there, and the voters list came from one of those houses. Mm. There is no heritage group per se in the city that is strictly on the heritage aspect of preserving buildings and that sort of thing. So we try to do a bit of advocacy to try to get the city to realize what they've got and they need to look after it a bit.
Yeah. What are some of the other aspirations that you have for Port Moody Museum to play a role in the community?
Yeah, well, we did do some heritage house tours back in the early 2000s, but Port Moody doesn't have a lot, and then Port Moody was a working town, so we do have the mayor's house. It's actually still in private hands, and they did a development around it as part of it, and but it's still there. But most of the other houses are all guys that worked at the mills. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a grandiose house to go through sort of thing. So plus there's not that many of them, so we try to do there's not enough stock to do a house tour every year. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the other things I've been trying to find is a major fundraising event for us each year. And
what had you gravitate towards the theme of, or the moment of World War One?
It was basically the volunteers, I guess, and we have done in 2005 and 2007, and then again in 2014, we did a Canada Day of honoring veterans. Mm. And we, the one year we got the camel from the Museum of Flight, and we got a truck from somewhere, and got a Russian tank. That didn't quite fit in, but anyway, it brought people in to see a Russian tank, I guess. And it was interesting, like for a Canada Day, we have a problem in that Golden Spike is on the other side of the bridge, if you're familiar with Golden Spike Days. So they get 20 or 30,000 people over there. Mm. If we can get 300 people here, we're doing well. Mm. But for the one event, in 2007, we had 5,000 people come. Mm. For that. Wow. That was sort of remarkable. And then in 2014, the volunteers that were putting it together said, well, why don't we dig a trench? So we decided we put a little trench between the rail car and our storage shop. And it was only about 20 feet long. We had three TV stations come to record that. Mm. And we sort of thought, they came for a little trench, well, what about a big one? So we put a bigger one in the back. And it worked out. I was able to get a grant through Heritage Canada. They had a special one for the 100th anniversary of the First World War. So it was fairly significant. So it did a major thing for us so that we could actually pull it together.